Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hello there. This is Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And Brian from New York.
And we want to welcome you to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. And I just want to jump in and say, I want to big thanks out there to everybody that's subscribing. It's been a lot of work putting these podcasts together since we've only been doing it a couple of months, but really have enjoyed the feedback and it seems that it's helping people. So I'm all in. How about you, Brian?
Yes, I want to agree with your sentiment. I think we've been going at it about 3 or 4 months now. I think the first week in February, we launched our first episode. So we're at 15, 16 now, something like that. And the response has been overwhelming. We're having a ton of listeners come and subscribe and listen. And it's great. I'm just glad that we can go in and, you know, share our experiences, share our knowledge, and help as many people as we can and try to be as entertaining as we can as well.
Yeah, and I want to also encourage people to check out the Ask the Guys opportunity. It's a little, you'll see on the website, it's Ask the Guys, and you can record a 90-second question, pretty much anything you want to say, but we will be doing periodic podcast fillers with questions from our subscribers. So really look forward to that.
Sure. Even if you don't have a question and you want to just make a little comment or send it over, we'll be glad to listen to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just want to say another thing we are just going to start doing along with Ask the Guys is going to be various interviews with people that are kind of just getting into the business. And when I say just getting in, I mean, last year or two. So they've had some experience under their belt. But I thought it'd be really great to hear this feedback since these people are really just getting great, really good. Technically, the business is getting better. It appears that they're just having so much more success. And I know that a lot of our newer listeners or the listeners that are new to real estate photography will surely get a lot of value out of listening to these stories. And I want to just start it off with a friend of mine named Chris Cole from Washington State. And Chris and I have been talking that she's really been getting great. Chris, you have been knocking your photos out of the park. How do you attribute that?
Oh man, that's so flattering. Thank you so much, Rich. I think just educating yourself and watching YouTube and attending workshops, and I already have an education background in photography. I have a commercial photography degree, but the real estate's been pretty new to me. I've only been making a good go at it for maybe the last year and a half. So was never an area where I thought that I would be in my photographic career, but I am loving it. It's kind of like a duck to water.
Cool. Now, I see I'm looking at your website now. You do come from, I guess, a wedding portrait background. Is that correct?
I do. My commercial photography degree is in portrait fashion. So this is kind of a far cry from what I started out with the intent of doing at 18 years old.
Degree? You mean they give a degree out for this stuff?
I missed it. Before the years of YouTube.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it seems every real estate photographer we speak to says the same thing, that this is not what they pictured themselves doing when they were 18 years old. So,
absolutely. I did not even think that this was a viable way to earn a living. So it's really been a blessing.
Uh-huh. And it's been a lot of fun too. I think you're a perfect example of somebody that is enjoying it. And we all love it when after a while, we kind of getting our motivation and getting our movements and getting our way going, that it just seems to work out. And you're not so worried about, you know, you're pretty confident you're going to succeed at every shoot. And I think you really crossed a big threshold in the last few months, but your work is up there. Really good, Chris.
Oh, thank you so much, Rich.
And on that note, Chris, why don't you just share with all our listeners how they can see some of your work? Because some people might be listening while they're at their computers, whatever the case is, whether it's on social or your website, how they can see if they want to look at some of your work while they listen to this.
Well, if they're interested in looking at portrait work, it's ChristineColePhotography.com. Christine with a K, Cole with a K. Or you can go into any of the Facebook books groups. Fairly active in the Real Estate with Lights and the Twilight group. in particular. So I post quite a bit there, just because lately I've been getting some really great houses. I don't do it when it's not so great, but when you get them, you got to jump right in, right?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I know that you're involved with an agency. I think you're doing Sotheby's now, and I just want to hear a little bit about that and your progression and how that's going.
Yeah, so I guess I'll give you kind of the story of how I jumped into this, because it's probably a little different than maybe most people would go about. My husband and I were in a situation where it was time to buy a house, and we have dogs, and so renting an apartment was not an option. And I was currently just working a 9-to-5 job in a doctor's office, and nobody really knew I did photography. I was doing it on the side, and just because we had moved around a lot, my husband was in the military, finally settled back at home. And so I gave my photography business card to the patient that I knew her husband was a realtor. So he called me up and he's like, "Well, you need a house?" "Yeah, I need a house." And he goes, "And you're a photographer?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm a photographer." He goes, "Why did I never know this?" I said, "Well, you know, of course I'm at work. I'm not doing my photography business at work." So long story short, he goes, "How would you feel about shooting houses?" And I said, "Well, of course, let's do it." Everyone thinks, "Oh, you shoot a person, you can shoot a house. No big deal." Right? There's no difference. That's ignorance. But nonetheless, I went in there and I did it. And he's like, "Wow, this is great." Of course, it wasn't always so great. But he liked it. And he's like, "Well, what if I could give you my whole office?" Of course, yes, money ticket. Yes, this is what I want to do. I want to earn a living with a camera in my hand. I think that's the ultimate goal. So heck yes, I'm interested. The brokerage was in the process of transitioning from one to another, and they were going to Sotheby's. So Sotheby's has a really high standard of what they allow on their sites and what they won't. And none of the local photographers were producing the image quality that they wanted. They wanted more lifestyle. They wanted lighting. They didn't want all these funky, weird angles. And so, long story short, I landed there. I'm the only photographer in the company. So I have 70 realtors that I work with on a regular basis. And yeah, it's awesome. I love it. I love my brokerage. I love my realtors. I love what I do.
And they're really excited too, I think, what it's bringing to the value and the benefit it's bringing to their agency, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I think, well, they told me the other day, "You put the face on our brand." So it's so important.
That is so great. Important.
Yeah. It's wonderful. I've had agents come to me and said, "The reason that I came to this brokerage in the end, after all the other things, was because of your images." And that was so flattering. So.
And what's even more amazing about that is that you have essentially, you said there's 70 realtors. So you essentially have 70 clients, but realistically it's only one client. So by kind of getting that one office, you literally got yourself 70 clients right off the bat, which is amazing.
Absolutely. Well, I will say, you know your strengths, know your weaknesses, and the hustle is not my strength. I don't do it very well. So this was really nice alternative for me just to go in, and it's already built in for me. So I feel very lucky.
That is just wonderful. And I'm sure very inspiring words for a lot of people getting into this, that there is a future and an ability to, find your way through this. And sometimes it's just luck. I'm kind of like you, Chris, as I lucked out at the beginning and it put me on my course. But they really realized that they wanted better photos and you were able to do it. And you realized you needed to step your game up. So it's kind of a two-way street. And what were some of the things you did or you noticed? Did you start off with HDR? Did you start off with lights? And did you realize, you know, that that's the look you wanted? What was that progression like?
You know, it's kind of funny. I missed the whole HDR revolution. I never did architectural photography with digital. I started in the dinosaur ages of film in 4x5 cameras. So I never saw this as a career path. I was not about to lug around a 4x5 view camera and load film backs and Yeah, so portraits were for me, and that's what I was going to do. And with this whole digital revolution, I was shooting portraits, and it became a viable option for real estate and for architecture. And woo, now we can put a tilt shift lens on a 35 millimeter camera. I'm not hauling around something huge every day. Yeah, I miss that revolution, and I've always used lighting. Lighting, I'm very comfortable with it. Like I said, I have a degree in photography. So lighting a house is essentially like lighting a person, but a little with tweaks here and there. It's just learning the angles. So yeah, I've always been a flash user, flambient, however you want to call it.
Ooh, she said flambient, Brian.
I know I did.
Hey, I apologize. Okay, a little warning. I apologize that word will, you know, we're trying to keep that word down. So.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Flash ambient blending.
We should edit one of those little explicit lyric beeps over it.
We're going to start making t-shirts, and that's going to probably be the first one I'm going to do.
Oh, poor Sam Chen. He's really trying to push flamposting really hard right now.
Yeah. Well, somehow I got saddled with the anger. So everybody was angry at me, but I didn't invent it. Anyway. So that's great. And you had mentioned, you would work with old film camera. I can't even now. Did you do real estate or any kind of building photography with film, or that was just other photography you did with film?
I did one class in college, and that was enough. And I said, no more. Thank you very much.
Okay. So you never shot real estate in the field professionally with film?
No, okay. I did not. No,
I was going to completely bow down to you and say I'm not worthy, because I know I used to shoot. I've been shooting film for 40 years, and I would not be good enough to really shoot with lighting a wedding or a house. I don't think I could do either with film. So,
oh, that's funny. I shot lighting and on film with weddings. Yes, I was proficient with film back loading it at a wedding.
Yeah.
Yes, that's how I started also, loading my Hasselblad 220 backs.
Did either of you work with a camera with bellows? Did you have a real 8x10 or 5x?
No.
No? Okay, not that
old.
Not
for weddings, no. I did with my 4x5 view camera, and we used that in studio, and I did it for portraits, but not a lot.
Well, they say film's coming back, so we'll see. Brian, when did you start photography? I don't remember ever asking you that.
Yeah, well, my father's a photographer.
Oh, that's right.
He's a wedding photographer. That's why I was loading, you know, Hasselblad backs when I was 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, after assisting for several years and even shooting weddings for a couple of years, I tried to, you know, jet out of that as quick as I can. I still, I would say, do probably about 5 weddings a year now at this point, only for colleagues that own studios that call me when they have busy days just to help them out. But kind of hopefully in the next, maybe next year, I hopefully will not do any.
I got 5 in a week coming up. No, not quite. I've got 3 in a week, but I've got, we have still quite a few weddings coming up this season. And,
wow.
Yeah, no, I still love the wedding. I don't care. I'm fine with the weddings.
But, I'll do them, but they have to be people I really like.
Weddings are easy. Shooting a house is hard. But I want to say my history with film is, I've been shooting since 68. That's 1968, okay? And I found that in the motion picture industry as a prop man, we used Polaroid film for me, it was mainly to document continuity. And I was using Polaroids in the old days. We had to pull it out of the camera, peel it off after a minute, and then stick it under your arm to warm it up. It was just, oh man, that was Polaroid film. That was my background.
I loved it. I loved Polaroid film.
Yeah. We used to get free Polaroid film, and don't tell the studios, but I used to every so often take a little bit home for the family. So we've got all the kids' pictures are on Polaroids. The only problem is, and if you out there have Polaroids, they will disappear. So get them on something else. they literally start disappearing. So, you know, the picture will go away. But continuing on this, I wanted to, you had mentioned the word tilt shift, and I'd like to use that as a segue for you to go into where have you gone kind of from the beginning, realizing what you need, but really emphasize everybody's into gear. And I don't want to say I want to put all the emphasis on gear by any means, but I think that when you get to the point where the gear will make a difference in your ability to make your images stand out and to make your life easier, what kind of stuff have you been getting lately or dealing with, and what is your plan in the future, and what would you like to do to, you know, help your work get better and your life easier?
Well, I think that the tilt shift is definitely the next step. I know what they can do. I've played with them, but $3,500 is a lot of money to fork out right now for one. Nikon does not have the market on the cheaper tilt shift. So there's a little crisp fun that just keeps kind of getting bigger and bigger. And once it gets big enough, I will have a new tilt shift. I just invested in the D4 head, the gear head, mostly because I'm a smooth operator now.
No pun intended.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Tell people what is an Arca Swiss D4?
An Arca Swiss D4. Well, that is your adjustments to make micro adjustments so all your verticals are straight. And we all know that that is the number one rule in real estate and architectural photography is those straight, straight verticals.
Yeah. And it's a geared head. And, you know, a lot of us try and educate people or at least let them know that it can make a huge difference. Has a going from whatever head you were using, probably a ball head, going to a geared head, has it really helped you? And has it slowed you down, saved you time, or where are you at with that?
You know, I always had a gear head, but I really had the cheapy, crappy one, and it just finally went to you. It said, no more. I can't take it anymore. So I just manned up and invested the money in the big one, and got the big boy on my camera now. I feel very special.
It's not the big boy. My 405 is the big boy. This is the, you pay all that extra money because it's a little boy. It's
okay, well, it's
half,
a little boy.
Half the weight and twice the expense, but half the weight and size. So
listen, I wanted a Porsche, okay, or a Ferrari. I didn't want the jalopy.
Yeah. No, I love my D4. What kind of head are you using there, Brian?
I'm on a Manfrotto 410, but now you're making me jealous.
You can't, man. You got to promise. Well, wait till it starts loosening up, and then instead of fixing it, invest in something better.
Yeah.
Because it's okay. It's okay until it isn't.
I already have the D4 open on my second monitor on B&H's website. So you guys are spending my money for me.
Oh, let me tell you, Chris, when people go to my workshops, they have next couple of months are very expensive, aren't they?
Yeah, I can speak from experience. The first workshop, I came home and I was like, listen, babe, I got to talk to you about something. I'm talking to my husband. So I know I just went to this workshop and I know that, you know, they sent me. So we sent my brokerage was, see, this is how cool my brokerage is. They sent me to this workshop because they're like, wow, you're the best. We got to make you better. And I was like, yes, let's do it. So I was like, listen, babe, I gotta do some stuff for my photography business. And it's a tax write-off. I always emphasize that. It's a tax write-off. I can write this off our taxes. And he's like, okay, what is it? I'm like, listen, I need all new lights. What? Yes, all new lighting gear. He's like, how much is that? And I think I might kind of flubbed on the actual number that I ended up spending.
$20,000.
Oh, is that how you do that? You start high and then you're like, oh, no, I only spent $1,500.
I've been married a lot longer than you have. Okay.
So needless to say, my lighting gear got an upgrade after the first workshop that I ever did. And still going strong. I think I need to invest in the 360s. But right now I'm working with 200 ABs, and I really love them. I love the power that they generate. I've got the dual head when I need to bust out some real power, and yeah, it's great. I love them.
That's awesome. Brian, what are you using light wise? You're using are you Profoto, did you say, or
No, I am Flashpoint, Godox, that whole system. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to have a bunch of Dynalights, which I sold those off because they were too big and bulky for me to bring. I had Dynalights from back from my wedding days, but those are too big and bulky to bring on any of these shoots. So I have two 600s, two Flashpoint 600s, and two of the AD200, the Godox AD200s. So the 600, the Explorer 600s don't really come out of the case too often, unless I'm shooting a gigantic room, but I'm using mostly the AD200s on most of my shoots.
Yeah, I have a couple of Einsteins I keep in the back of my car just in case I get into a black hole, but I don't use them very much either.
Yeah, it's hard to go back to cords and big lights and such. So, and Chris, what are you doing as far as your tripod? What are you using?
You know, I could not even tell you the name of it off the top of my head. What tripod do you have, Rich? Because I think I have the same one. it's a beast.
He uses a 3046. But so you find the value in having a heavy, stable tripod with a geared center column, correct?
Absolutely.
There you go.
I don't do the pull yet. It's coming. The pull is coming.
You mean pull photography. Okay.
Yeah, I don't use the pull and it will come, but it goes up 12 feet. So I feel like I'm getting a little high. And it really, really, really helps with my aligning in Photoshop with my images. I don't have to use auto align as much as I used to. So that's been a really great thing, even though I'm slipping that thing all over the place all day long. So
Chris, how long have you been going at it now? And we spoke about, and the whole concept here is, you know, your progression over since you started. So how long has it been since you kind of took on that first real estate house and pretended you knew what you were doing?
Well, I took on the first real estate house about a year and a half ago, maybe a little bit more. I wouldn't say that really still to this day know what I'm doing. I feel like I always am kind of winging it, but I feel very confident within probably the last 8 months that I can walk into a house not knowing what I'm going into, know that I'm going to come out with images one way or another. Yeah, it's good.
But that's how you do it. I mean, I know that's how I started, and you just said the same story, son. It could be the same for you, Rich, but I've heard countless other people say, somebody asks you, do you do real estate? And you, of course, say yes, and you go in and you do the best you can. And if you look back now, they're awful, but you got to go in and pretend you know what you're doing. So,
you know, I always use the expression, you don't know what you don't know. And that's something that I think everybody that's new to this can learn from. Is be open to the facts of the rules of the rules of real estate and architectural photography, you know, things like verticals, this and that. You just have no idea. I remember my first image. I was so excited. I shot it HDR. Oh, I said the HDR word. I shot it without lights. And it was my friend's house, multi-million dollar house. And I went up and I did this beautiful shot of the bedroom. And I thought the light was magic and the place was neat. It looked so great. I posted it into the Flickr group, PFRE Flickr group. And I got hit with, I was expecting the world, and I got hit with the vertical thing because I was just probably had it head high pointing down and thinking I'm badass. And let's just say they set me straight. But it was the first time anybody had ever said anything. And I learned a lot and I learned a lot in the next, for the next few years. But I think that really important for the people that are learning to don't worry about where you're at now, just progress and get better and care about getting better. Like you, Chris, you care about, you really know that you need to step up your game and you've done so and you will continue to.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to, even though you're not where you want to be, realize that your progression is your progression and you're not comparing yourself to anybody else. I mean, yeah, you have competition, but you shouldn't compare yourself to other people because you can only do what you can do and you can only be better than you were yesterday. So that should be your goal.
Amen to that. That's exactly what I said on last week's podcast. And I've said it before, do not worry about your competition. Just go out and do what you do and get better and everything else will come.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great. And yeah, I like what you said too, Chris, because I'm always on people for just keep your visors open and have your sights on your future. Don't worry about where you're at right now. It's going to, you know, like when you do these workshops and you start using things like tilt shifts and you start using all these geared heads and things and tethering, we haven't even talked about tethering, but it really, really can slow you down. And you have to just have faith that it will not only, you know, it'll speed you up, but it's all worth it. Even if it eventually takes you longer, because your work is just going to be better and you're going to be able to command a better product, a better client and make more money and blah, 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 and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm still working on the tethering thing. That still has got me a little slow, but it will come around. Believe me, I shoot enough houses. It will come around.
Well, but, you know, and that's going to be a tough one for you because you do shoot a lot. And I think the people that I know that have an issue with tethering tend to be the shooters that have, either they're the ones that have never tethered and just find it so strange, but they're the ones that have, they really have been shooting for so long and so many houses, it slows them down, even, you know, especially the HDR, the bracket shooters, because tethering just takes longer to bracket. And those, you know, you're adding seconds upon seconds. So I can see it slowing you down, but I know you have faith that it will all get faster and better and is the right direction to go into.
I will say I 100% of the time now use my tether for twilight photography. I don't do a lot of it. When I can talk my realtors into it, I do it, but that's primarily what I use my tether for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're really, excuse me. That's something I want to compliment you. You have really stepped up your twilight game. I've noticed that your images are just great. You're doing wonderful sky replacements and you know, whatever you're doing seems to be working. What's up with that?
What's up with it? This is necessity. You have to keep up in your game. So,
but yeah. the twilight photography in particular, what has been your biggest inspiration or biggest advancement or something you've learned or something you've tried? What has really set your twilight shots up for where they seem to be?
I think that when you first start twilight photography, it's such a mystery and you're going, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? And what time of the day is the right time of the day? And am I waiting too long or am I not waiting long enough? And what if it's a bad weather day and there's no good sky? And I think just by learning, I mean, I learned it from a workshop from you, but so there you go. But
this is not a paid advertisement.
This is not a paid advertisement, but there's all sorts of information available, not just at a workshop, but knowing that I can replace that sky, it's not a big deal. So I need to get in there and make sure that I have all my dynamic range in order and I'm going to be able to pull those shadows up and I'm not blowing out my highlights. I can get it, click it, move on and know that I can fix whatever I need to fix in post. So
yeah. Well, perfect. Then that's you're exactly how I feel. I just demystify twilights. It's really, but it helps to have done a few of them, but really it's kind of scary at the beginning. But it's not after a while. And now are you doing light painting or yet with using lights for twilights?
I have done some light painting, not a ton of it. Now that I have my big heavy tripod, it might be more of a viable option, but, I don't get paid enough to do the light painting. They're so extensive. And I primarily shoot a lot of residential. So I don't have a ton of high-end homes that I'm shooting that I would justify using light painting for.
Mm-hmm. And it also slows you down in post a little as well. Not that that's a clear bad thing, but, you know, for higher end stuff, obviously, you said, like you said, you want to put a little more effort in there. But
absolutely.
And the worst part is, and I can speak for myself and a lot of other people too, it's sometimes when you do light painting well, you can make a magical, marvelous image. I find though there are too many people, including me, that's why I kind of stopped, is it wasn't worth the return on investment wasn't there, mainly because I just didn't feel that I was as good or my images were as good. Maybe my blending technique wasn't as good, but I found the single exposure to be better for me in my life. But I still respect a really, really well-painted light painting twilight image. There's nothing like it. Really like it.
Yeah, I've actually done some light painting. I got to shoot a restaurant this year, which is really cool. And I've never had the opportunity to do that. But it was it's called Cedars, and it's called Cedars for a reason. everything interior is dark cedar wood. So there was no choice other than to light paint that sucker up as much as I could and you know, use a CTO to kind of warm it up. So yeah, it definitely has its applications.
Brian, sure. Did you check out Christine's pictures of the restaurant?
I'm typing them as we speak.
Oh man, Chris, you really, that was it. That one shot of being, I would like to put the link on the show notes just so everybody could see it, but you did the shot of the fireplace, the bar with the fireplace or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But man, you just nailed it. And the lighting was just so appealing. It was so, as one person would say, so sexy. Very sexy. Woo! Lighting. You're a hottie on a light, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I can't find a hottie somewhere.
I can't find the website, but I remember the image you did post in one of those Facebook groups.
Can we can put it on the show notes, can't we? I'll find it for you. I'll send you the link.
Yeah, I saw it. It was like a week ago you posted that, something like that, right?
Well, it had legs. Like it's that. Been up for weeks, and it's just hundreds and thousands of hits. I've actually, I think I've got to make that. I got to check, but I think that's going to be the group photo. I think you won. You won on it. You won honestly. So I told you I couldn't push it because I know you. So anyway,
I promise I did not campaign. I promise I didn't do that.
Yeah. No, I think it's great, and I love doing in the groups. I love. Getting good camaraderie and getting people excited about cover photo contests and things like that. But as long as we get different people to win, it's a good thing. But I really, really hope you win. I'll go check it out tomorrow. See, I think we're up to pass the date. We've got to switch it. So good luck on that.
Oh, thanks. It's so, it's such an honor. I know it's just a cover photo, but no, it's not a cover photo. It's this is real life, people.
Yeah. The only problem is, I think is it a vertical image or a horizontal image?
It's a horizontal image.
Okay. Then you got it. Okay. I was going to say, darn, we can't use it. Okay. No. Great. Yeah. Brian, what would you like to, ask anything. I've been hogging the microphone as usual.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at your website now. And as I mentioned earlier, there's nothing real estate on there. So nope. You've been at it a year and a half. I know you have, you know, this deal you have with Sotheby's, and I don't know what that, I mean, is this something where you're exclusive to them or you can go out and you can start marketing to other real estate photographers too? Is that in your plans?
No, I am exclusive to them. Okay. And I feel a lot of loyalty, so I don't really need that. But as far as like, I can go out and do design work and architectural work and things like that, which I have done a little bit because of this, just we live in a small town, and there's not an oversaturation of real estate photographers in our area. It's just there's just not. I can count on one hand how many I know. So yeah,
lucky you.
Yeah, right. That doesn't mean come here, people. I promise. I like it like this.
You don't want to go. It rains too much. Trust me.
Oh yeah. No, we live on the other side of the state. Anywho, but so word of mouth travels. Everyone knows everyone here. So it's been nice just to kind of getting things picked up, and builders who build homes, they also build businesses, and they need photos of dental offices and things like that. So yeah, it's been good.
You know, it's funny listening to you talk, you know, from the small town, and everyone knows everyone, because as everyone knows, I'm, you know, from Long Island, right outside New York City. And there are so many people here that, like, you know, it's just such a different marketing strategy to try to get your work out there, because everyone knows everyone. I mean, we're a very big referral based business, and I do get a decent amount of business from that. But I had to make SEO part of my marketing strategy, or else I wouldn't have been successful.
Right.
Just because of the nature of how many, you know, people are here, and just the sheer volume of potential clients and competitors.
Right.
Yeah. I think that it's, you know, I want to kind of, when we close out, I just want to ask you because the most important thing for this interview for me was to have the newer people try and learn from this. And I thought, what a great way. What would you say to people that are, you know, the kind of people that are getting into this, and the people in the groups, what would you say to them to to think about and stick by, and a couple of words of advice?
I'd like to just tell you, just stick with it. I mean, your first house is going to suck. I mean, there's no other way around this unless you're just born with this God-given natural talent and the ability to know everything. But like you said, you don't know what you don't know. And you're going to have struggles in learning where your camera position goes. You're going to have struggles on and how to blend out that stupid ceiling fan that's in every single room. And it's just practice. Put the camera in your hand. Photograph your own house. Photograph your grandma's house. Just go do it. It's the only way you're going to learn.
I would love to find some sort of platform where we can allow everybody to post their first real estate image ever on there and just...
Nope, sorry, won't happen.
You won't post or the platform won't happen?
I got some stuff you wouldn't even believe. I was into HDR.
Hey, that's how I started too. So again, Chris, I want to thank you. We're about out of time here. Thanks for coming on. Why don't you just share with everyone one more time your website URL and different ways to follow you, even though I know there's not really much real estate photos out there on your website, but just give a little inkling to where people can find you and see some of your work.
Well, you can find me at ChristineColePhotography.com, or you can go into any of the real estate groups, mainly the Real Estate with Lights or the Twilight groups. I post Fair Link frequently there. So you can find my real estate work mainly on Facebook.
Great. And go into that Real Estate Photography with Lights group and look for that cedar image. Because I remember that one specific image, like I said, you posted 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, and it was good.
Well, it looks like it's going to be the cover photo so everybody can see it. Okay.
Oh,
there you go.
But I still have to see how many votes there were. I still have to do it honestly.
All right, cool. But thanks for coming on, Chris. It was good to hear your story. You know, you've gone a long way in a year and a half, and I'm happy to hear it. And, you know, what you were able to do with Sotheby's is fantastic and amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, you guys, for having me.
Yeah, and Chris, I just want to close out by saying it's a pleasure knowing you, but you really, you inspire people, and you're the person that I wanted people to hear, because I think your story is a real positive one, and to show everybody that it can happen to everybody and should, and just take the time to get better and do what you need, invest in education, invest in some gear, and spend some time doing it, and you're good to go. So I want to say real proud of you, and just keep up the good work.
Exactly. Shoot and learn, and shoot and learn, and rinse and repeat.
Make more money so you can spend time with what you want to do. So yeah.
So I can buy a D4.
D4. I'm shooting for a Porsche. So I mean, so I'm okay. A little bigger, but no.
I'm starting small. I'm just fine.
I'm telling you, it's the same thing at my house.
Okay. Well, listen, everybody it's a Friday. We're recording this, and everybody have a great weekend. And just, Chris, maybe we'll check back with you in a few months or something and just do a follow-up and see what's going on.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks
thank
a
you,
lot.
Chris. Thank you, Brian. And thank you all out there in Shooting Spaces land. Bye.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to the show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, shootingspacespodcast.com.